and welcome to Med Talks, conversations by medical students for medical students. I'm Deborah, and this is my partner, Joey.
Welcome to the show today, guys.
And for today's episode, we are back in studio with Ryan and Matt from Docs and Slops. And thankfully today, we're talking solutions. So what can we do right to make or fix the system?
Yes, and welcome to Med Talks and our discussion today. What a question, Debbie. What can we do to try fix or right our imperfect healthcare system? Luckily, we're joined by people very passionate about these issues, especially Ryan.
Matt's here for comic relief.
Yeah.
Matt, I believe in you. Right?
Thanks, dude.
It's a 50-50 partnership.
No, 100%. Matt does all the work in our supervised.
That's the creative one, though.
That's
creativity.
Sure.
Well, ideas need creativity to flow at the end of the day. So, like I said, we're lucky to be joined by the Docs and Slops, Matt and Ryan. Welcome to them. So, personally, I think improving the healthcare system is something we tend to kind of block out or try get over rather than try focus on possible solutions. And we'll speak more about apathy and how that ties into it. I mean, with so much responsibility and stress on our plate already as interns or doctors, even as students, how does one even start to try take on the system? What difference do we think we can make as one person? But before we go and dive down that deep rabbit hole, we'd just like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to this third and final episode of our mini-series. I've had a lot of fun recording the previous two episodes. Yeah. It's been great having these two bright minds in studio.
Star guests.
You guys are the bright minds.
Listeners, I urge all of you to give us a follow on our social media pages. That's our Insta handles at MedTalksZA. Please give us some feedback and engage with us. Also, please give the Docs and Slops a follow. It's at Docs and Slops. There's an underscore between the in, but you'll find it if you search it, trust me.
You'll be good. All right, so after our very intense discussion around everything that's going wrong, I think it's very important for our sanity that we just focus on some of the things going right in our healthcare system. So can you guys just take us through some of the projects that are up and running at the moment that are trying to make a positive difference that you know about?
So from our side, from the Docs and Slops side, there's very many projects that we've seen and come in contact with through very many different people. By starting Docs and Slops and starting to get out there on social media, we realized how many people are actually taking up the challenge and looking at the system and trying to put their little piece into the system and fix their little part in the role. And we've had a few projects that we've worked on ourselves. The first thing was getting out there at all, getting onto social media. Matt and I are completely inept when it comes to any technological systems, social media.
How often do you post? Hey, on the private accounts.
Oh, geez, on the private accounts.
Never.
Well, I saw. Well, we retweeted. We reposted the Instagram posts on our private accounts, and I saw that that was the first post in 2 years, so that
well
gives
done,
you a little
guys.
Bit of an idea behind it.
Ryan posted for the first time in a while. Check out his post. Yeah, that little.
So, Bron helped us a lot with getting on board there. She's a lot more social media orientated and has a lot better mind for that. She also is a lot less artistically challenged than Matt and I. from an artistic perspective, we're very challenged. So it's nice to have somebody to look after that side. And
it's a great team, a good collaboration.
100%. Everybody has their own strengths. And we've worked together on that. So getting onto social media has put us in touch with other people. It started the networking and essentially what got us in touch with you guys. And that was the first step along the path. And then two other things that we've done, we had a Mandela Day challenge, which was our virtual visiting hour, and we're in the process of doing a online booking system for Rahim Emusa's pediatric clinic. So currently they have a paper-based system, and we're in the process of implementing an online system with them. It's been a really epic collaborative effort with a lot of input from their side too. And it's been fun to tackle a system that we found challenging.
Mm.
Do you think that's something that you guys could replicate easily in other hospitals?
Yeah, we think so. And that's the thing, is that as much as, like, we're not just in it for the doleros, like, we're not looking to, like, try and make a buck off every single system. We, like, literally want to prove to people, like, you don't need to be an app maker and a tech fundi and like know how to code in 7 different languages, you know, to be able to make like a cool system. Like Ryan Brun literally developed this online booking system like themselves, you know, having absolutely zero like IT software background.
Yeah. Mm.
And yeah, it's just simple solutions like that that are just so, that show that it can be replicated so easily.
So yeah, going forward, we hope that it will be something that we'll be able to replicate at multiple clinics, essentially anybody who's who's interested. Any system has its challenges. I think that statement stands true always. And it has been, there have been a couple challenges in implementing the system. But overall, it's been an incredible experience, and we've really enjoyed interacting with the department and networking. And it's been incredible to see how on board people become. As soon as you propose a solution to a problem, people start listening and start saying, that's fantastic. Why don't you also add this? And it becomes a collaborative effort. It's, as we said, it's definitely not something that any individual can change. But again, as a collective, we...
And I think what you say is so true. We kind of just need people to just, you know, stand up and first of all take the initiative, and then other people will just follow. Mm. And I think that's...
Passing the Olympic torch.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, that really is how it goes. And I think it's really important that we help each other out, because, I mean, we're such a, you know... we are a bright young group of individuals, and there are many great ideas brewing. We just actually need to put in the work, and instead of, you know, talking about how we're going to do things, actually make it happen. I think that's like the difference between it, you know.
Stop complaining and start doing something about it. We love to complain.
No, we do. It's a good conversation.
We're good at it.
Yeah, shared adversity. Yeah.
That's a good diplomatic term for it. But I mean, there's really cool health systems out there. Like we're not out here to pump docs and slops. There's a group called Jembe Health. That's a NPO started by a doctor that's kind of spun out of a research side. I don't know them personally, but the system looks amazing. They started Mom Connect, which is like a social media education service for moms and the public healthcare system. They've got some amazing projects, setting up like tablets and stuff for electronic systems in Mozambique and coming into
trans-border system, so it's been across sub-Saharan Africa.
They've got like an immunization card that goes like across borders and stuff. Because I mean,
which is great, because we end up with the burden of our surrounding countries lots of the time, with a health burden.
Their
healthcare system is even worse off than ours.
100%. And the dry Limpopo riverbeds aren't particularly hard to cross. So, I mean,
not really. You can jump over that puddle with the crocodile pretty easily.
You'll be fine.
And from our side, I've been really fortunate. This week, I've started in Timbaletu HIV Clinic at Tel and Joseph. And it's been the most incredible experience working at the clinic. They've got a completely online system. So they essentially run a paperless clinic, which I didn't believe existed in South Africa.
Yeah, it's first time hearing of it as well.
And it's unbelievable. You've got the full history on an online system.
Yeah, you're not in someone's handwriting.
Not in someone's handwriting that you can't read at all.
That looks like a plate wave report.
And you're able to log onto the system. The patient comes in, they have a code. You log onto the system and you have their details for as long as they've been in the clinic. And those details are able to move to other clinics which have a similar system. The NPO that's been assisting them is a company called Right to Care. And it's just been an incredible system to work with, to see that you can use technology to automate the mundane tasks, to make things a lot easier so that you can focus and interact with the patient. And I've thoroughly enjoyed the experience. In general, I haven't enjoyed my clinic experiences in internship, but this clinic has been something very different, because I've really felt the ability to connect with the patient, to enjoy the time at the clinic, and to interact with systems like that and get the name out there and hopefully promote them is a real fantastic opportunity.
There's nothing like working with a well-oiled machine. You know, because I must say, with our clinic experience, generally we also dread it. But I've had some experiences where you work at these clinics and you're actually just like, how so profound, like how, you know, far they are, how far they've come, how far they've progressed. And I think it's always, it makes your life like such a pleasure. It's so easy.
And it creates a fantastic environment for learning as well. You're able to see the complexity, and you're able to acknowledge then with the correct systems what you don't understand or what you're not aware of. At this clinic, at Tembeletu Clinic, they even have an online drug interaction checker. So you upload the drugs that you prescribe or the medications that you prescribe, and the system is automated to detect any errors. And during the course of the week, we picked up two red flag interactions that would have been critical and changed the patient's outcomes. And it was drugs that I didn't realize interacted, and the system red flagged, and I was able to go and speak to a senior and say, listen, what's the interaction here? Is it important? And through doing that, I've now also learned those and gained the academic experience. And even without that system now, it's something that I'll be able to remember. So the environment has just been incredible to work in.
Shows you that an effective system leads to all these like positive outcomes at the end of the day. Tell me a bit more. Sorry, Matt.
No, I was going to say, and just also like, just so lucky to see Rana's moods, like regarding, you know, like you know, there was time.
He's a happier human now.
Yes, so much. I mean, honestly, there's times in internship and times as a med student that you get so frustrated, like you cannot bear to think like why, like you're walking around trying to find something or trying to find a file or trying to like find someone or pushing a patient to CT scan, and you're like, in your brain you're like, I can't believe this is my life right now, you
know, and has this what it has come to.
Yeah, and you're just like, your brain just spirals out of control, and it's just so nice to see like Rhino has got such a smile on his face, and he's so passionate like about speaking about Tembeletu. And I think it's just one of those experiences that just show you exactly about how simplicity and systems can change your mood at work and can change your treatment for patients and like your likelihood of burnout, you know, if you're like, if you're going in schmarking what you're working with and like actually interacting with patients, you know, it can really, really have a big impact.
But I think it's it really that is kind of what it comes down to. And it's so difficult when you in the system and every single day you have like a million obstacles to face to do the most simple thing. And I think that's where like immense frustration comes in, where you feel like you have to move mountains, I don't know, to try get a gelco. Like, so it's just having those things in place. And I mean, when I worked in private, it was, to me, it was so incredible. I'm like, oh my word, everything's in one room, like this is insane. You know, so I think you like learn to really appreciate those things, and I think we're almost taken aback or shocked when we find them in the government sector, but I think this that is the norm that we need to be moving towards,
to aspire to. Definitely. So you spoke about the Nelson Mandela virtual contact hour. Matt, could you tell us a bit more about that?
I think that was purely, Ryan is actually the start of that story. COVID just kind of happened to play nicely into our hands. But I think Ryan has got the backstory that we never posted.
I was in the anesthetics rotation at that time, and I did the pre-med for a patient that was on our elective list the following day. And I found out that he had been in the hospital for a month, and during that time he had lost his phone. And he hadn't been in contact with his family for the past 3 weeks. And he was going in for major back surgery the following day. And I said to him, you know, do you have any concerns for the surgery? And he said, yeah, I haven't chatted to my family. Please, is there a way that I can chat to my family? You know, with this COVID thing, there's no visiting hours. Mm-hmm. I don't have my phone. Is there a possibility that you can help me? And I said, oh, of course. I mean, that's easy to arrange. And just from that story, we realized, I'm sure there's more patients that are out there that are facing the same predicament, especially with COVID. And it was very understandable thing to stop visitors at that point. And we said, why don't we just use technology to make a virtual visiting hour? And that's essentially where that campaign arose from. And we had a really great uptake. I think Matt's experience in Clarksthorpe was incredible. On the day of on Mandela Day, all of the patients isolated in the COVID ward were enabled to chat to their family members and loved ones. And Matt and the team on that side had a really fantastic experience. And it was an experience not only for the patients, but also for the healthcare workers. So it was a really, really
100%.
Cool project.
Like at the end of the day, you know, like a patient complains of like a bit of tummy pain, and you know, you can be like, oh cool, I can give you this, I can give you that. Like, they don't really feel treated, but you know, like, give a patient $12 airtime and they are like stoked beyond measure. Like, their tummy pain goes away so quickly.
They are healed.
Yeah, they literally, they like send selfies of like them and their mates in the ward, like to their families, and you know, just, or even like just phone their son or something like that. Like, it's so rare, and often I think, or it kind of just exposed to us, like, it's the small things, you know. It's not about like making sure that you're, you know, I mean, of course it's making sure your treatment's correct and you know, your scripts are right and whatnot, but it's also just about like connecting people and like making people happy and laugh, and you know, like make it more of a jolt to be in hospital. Like, people are like,
it's not such a drag.
Very morbid environment. Exactly. People are lying there, frowns on their face. Yeah,
like people are super sick and they come in, like, we're going to admit you to hospital. They're like, oh no. And you're like, dude, you're so sick. Like, you came to hospital for help, and they're like, people just have this mentality that hospitals are such a terrible place. And I mean, right now,
I don't always blame them.
Not the happiest place, yeah.
Yeah, and like, I think we can change it.
We had a doctor in Obs and Gyne at Barrow Gwynedd Hospital that said to us as students, he took us all aside and said to us, why do patients come to the hospital? And we said, no, well, you know, he gave all of our answers, and he says, no, all of you are wrong. They come to the hospital not to be cured, but to feel better. And on his rounds, this is a senior consultant, very, very senior consultant. His name was Dr. Edridge. He would sing to the patients in the morning, and the whole ward would smile. They would see him walking to the bed, and they'd already be...
I hope so.
I can't do the same.
He's British with a British accent, and can speak Zulu. And would sing with a British accent in Zulu. I think that was partly got the huge chuckle from the patients.
Yeah.
And it's experiences like that. I think it's by realizing that you have good interactions with the healthcare system, and so do the patients.
I want to be like that when I grow up.
Yeah, it's heartfelt.
Adults, here we come. Adults med school.
In the wards of Barrow.
What audition for the like surgical award or
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
I'm more of an Obs and Gyne singer myself. You know, you need quite a strong voice in there though to get above the noises of pain.
Yeah.
The scream.
But it's really nice to hear about these projects such as this, and like you said, that it's not just Docs and Sloth, but like once you joined almost this community of almost fighting the system, if we could call it that, that you become aware of all these projects that are there, and it lessens the load almost that you feel on your heart for, you know.
100%. If you tackle the system on your own, it's fairly futile. But if we do it together, then it's definitely something that can be done. And yeah, it's been enlightening to see how many people are out there doing just that.
Mm.
And yeah, I think maybe you guys also don't take into, or like, I mean, obviously I don't know you personally, but like, you might not even be aware how many souls you touch with this podcast, you know.
Mm.
Like, it might not have like 2 million, you know, like people listening, but it's actually not a business. But yeah, it's not about that. Like, you might actually touch one person's life, like in such a hectic way, that they like, you know what, that Med Talks podcast was like the one for me. Like, I got flipping goosebumps, and like, I listened to that. Like, that's my healing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, like, even on social media, Rana and I, like, you know, it's not about the number of followers or how many likes we get. Like, it's about you know the chance that you might make a difference in one person's life. And I think you guys should like take a real like round of applause for
I think there's an applause button, Debbie. I don't know. One of them. It could be like blaring horns or sirens. So we'll skip that. But thank you, honestly.
No, and I think that at the end of the day, like we were just talking about this earlier, and it's about at the end of the day, you want to look back on your life and have you lived a life of meaning? Have you had the impact that you wanted to have? Like, yes, you can achieve all these like personal self-fulfilling goals, but life is all about relationships at the end of the day. So I think going out and trying to make that impact, you know, it's a very worthy cause. But it's easy to look at very large scale projects and movements aimed at bettering our healthcare system and use that as a sort of scale to measure the progress that is being made to improve our healthcare system. However, change generally starts at an individual level, as we spoke about earlier. And if we can't, you know, consciously start the change within ourselves, our system, unfortunately, will still always be broken. So what do you guys think as individuals, what can we do to make a difference? How can we fight the system? Where do we start? Where does your everyday doctor start?
In slops, hopefully.
Yes, God.
That's what we aim for.
Even in winter, you got to push through.
You can do the socks and slops. Then, yeah, yeah. Does it still qualify?
100%.
No, okay. It does. Okay. Especially in Germany.
But yeah, on a more serious note, I think often when we're in the hospitals, you get a nagging feeling of something that you should do. You get that gut feeling that says, oh, let me just go that little bit extra. And I think it's easy to push that away, especially when you're busy and you have a lot on your plate. Make a note, come back at the end of the day, challenge yourself to take on that little challenge. And sometimes it opens incredible doors and it gives you that sense of fulfillment. So I think especially from a junior doctor perspective, that's definitely something that we felt along the way. And I think to take on any ideas and try and find a route to make it possible, just go for it. For us, jumping onto the social media platform was definitely a challenge.
I'm on Instagram.
The old fogies.
Yeah. older than we look, but...
But it is, it's getting out of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
I understand that.
Yeah,
just to challenge yourself, stretch a little bit beyond and a little bit out of the routine.
And I think you just got to find the things that light your fire, you know, like everyone's their own individual and everyone has their own things that they dig and that's like flows in their life. And you just got to find those things that like add fuel to your own fire, you know, like it might not necessarily mean like getting up at 4 a.m. and pumping out like an hour of biceps and you know, then smashing like a kale and banana.
Not my
smoothie.
Vibe.
You know, like, don't forget the whey and creatine. Yeah.
Which I mean, that's a great thing and that's a lot of self discipline. But I mean, it's just about finding things that fuel your fire and that motivate you and express your creativity. Like as humans, we are creative beings and we want to find solutions as much as like no one enjoys complaining, you know, but as soon as you come back and you're working on a solution or you're working on something that you dig, you know, that's where the change starts. Like change starts with being passionate about something.
And fulfillment.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think good systems allow people the chance of creativity. So if you have a good running system, which I mean, for me, Timberletu Clinic has been that. It's allowed that opportunity. Anesthetics was a really nicely run rotation. And a lot of the ideas for Docs and Slops, the Nelson Mandela Day virtual visiting hour, came during that time. So if you create that environment that people have the opportunity to take on what fulfills them, it allows for good things to foster and grow. So I think a lot of it is system-based to create a system that allows for it. And then even if the system isn't allowing for it, just push through, find a way, take up the challenge of whatever inspires you, whatever makes you tick at the end.
Even if it is just the first step of solving something major, you've at least started the process, you know? You've got 100%.
The ball rolling. 100%. Yeah. And there's a book I'm reading at the moment called Ikigai. And it's basically the Japanese secret to like longevity. And it recognizes 5 blue zones across the world where people just live like way over 100 and are just so happy.
Where
and,
is
like,
it and so what are they doing?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's not just sushi, you know. Like, there's temple, there's
is it rice wine?
Yeah, I think so.
No, it's the kale chips.
That's what I say. I'm shocked. I didn't know you knew Japanese.
Also, how many pictures in the book?
Plenty, bro. It's mainly just diagrams. I read through all the words. I'm like, this is a sick diagram. That explains a lot.
Japanese writing is pictures, so.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, I mean, I think having a look at that and, like, that just encompasses a lot of, like, what life's about and a lot about just, like, finding your meaning and finding that fire and stuff, yeah. I don't know. I can't explain the whole book in
we don't want a synopsis.
But we get the gist of it, though. And
you guys, what do you think? I mean, Ryan and I have had this whole talk about how we're going to flip the tables on these questions.
I think for me, it's like very... I think my passion lies very much like with patient-centered education. I think that's like a very important thing to me. And I think, yes, we have like huge systemic issues. And I think a lot of the, almost a lot of like the illnesses and the sicknesses we're seeing in South Africa are systemically based. And it's like because of poverty at the end of the day, you know? So I think that's a whole other can of worms. But I think for me, I'm very passionate about trying to help educate the patient, and I guess through doing that you do have to kind of create a better system. But I completely agree with what you guys are saying, like we need more time, we need to take more time away from doing like the useless things that are time consuming, and we need to put more effort into those patient interactions so that you can actually be a doctor. And I think that's a that's definitely a great start and a great way to go about it, because I think when we can help empower and educate, I think that's where we can fundamentally see some differences, and that's where change will actually come about at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's proper.
Like it, Debbie. Good answer there.
And Joey, what's your five?
I can't say it's going to be...
I love how he's just turned... Are you the host now?
Look at Matt. Matt is the captain now. Matt is the captain now. I don't know. It's, when you were speaking now about bettering the system, which allows you to express yourself more as a healthcare professional and then to pursue something greater than, instead of that, kind of lit a fire in me now hearing you speak about that. I don't have a nice polished answer like Debbie, but even if it is something small, you know, getting out of your comfort zone and making a difference in one patient, patient's life, that makes me passionate, or that makes you me know, excited.
Yeah, and I think as like just even on an individual level, just to be present, like you just need to be present. So I think sometimes it's so difficult because you're thinking about 100 other things, but just remember, like, you're dealing with a human being, and give them what you've got right now. Like, maybe it's not all that they deserve, but it's what you have to give. So just like being in that moment. And I think, I mean, people are people, they're receptive to that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think that's like,
they'll feel your honesty and your compassion.
That's the best that 100%. You can do in a situation like that. But yeah, going on to the next question.
Now, it is all well and dandy to speak about and discuss these possible and already implemented solutions about things that can be done and should be done and that will ultimately benefit our healthcare system. However, when you come down to it, we're often drawn into feelings of apathy, and we've touched this in between the podcasts, and this is the first time we're actually recording the whole apathy thing.
Should have had the record on the whole time. Yeah.
But these feelings of indifference, or what difference can I make as an individual, often tend to pop up in our feelings. So how can we combat this apathy? And what are possible reasons like that we feel like this in the first place?
So I think the apathy definitely comes from fighting an unrewarding battle, from fighting challenges day after day, and particularly challenges that you don't find rewarding. And a lot of the...
Not seeing results, exactly.
Not seeing results. Being the porter, being the paper finder, and doing all of these things that you didn't expect to be doing, but you know it needs to be done for the system to work. And I think you become even more apathetic. Sometimes there are adverse outcomes in healthcare. And I think especially if you have an adverse outcome that you believe that you could have changed, that can really be soul-destroying and can lead to the burnout, to the apathy. And so system change can definitely change that potential. But I think, as Matt says, in acknowledging your fire, by getting involved in something that you are passionate about, it really helps to get away from that sense of apathy.
Yeah, it's good foil for apathy.
Yeah, and everyone says, like, you know, it's just that age-old saying, like, it's not any of our wisdoms. It's just like, don't give up on your daydream. You know, like that's your daydream is that fire, that thing that when you're sitting in, you know, your ethics or anatomy lecture, both of which are important, but I mean, you know, and you're thinking, like, flip this, you know, and your mind's just drifting off, like, that is your fire. Like, anatomy and ethics and medicine and all, like, aspects are important.
It's all tools that you learn along the way
to equip you.
But when you're following that drive and, like, that voice inside you, like, there's no ways you'll be apathetic.
Yeah.
And I think a big factor that I've come across as well along the course of internship is teamwork. And be that the team at work, be that the team at home, your support structures, your friends, your colleagues, whatever it may be, teamwork is really important to overcome that sense of apathy. I think it's very easy to feel apathetic and to struggle when you think that you're sitting in the middle of this deep ocean on your own and you can't see the shoreline.
That's true.
And when you realize that you're there with four friends and you can have a laugh and a beer together at some point in this big
nice
wide
raft, open. Beers in the cooler, floating alongside.
Gotta be prepared, eh?
It makes the sunset sweeter. It does, seeing it with someone else.
Yeah, 100%. We had a real tough start to our surgical rotation. And the way that it worked, we had a team of four in each unit, groups of four. And we used to come, it was during winter, and we used to arrive at work somewhere between 6 and 6.30. Right in the dark and cold. And we'd immediately start seeing the patients, and inevitably the ward rounds were tough. Surgical patients are often very challenging. We were struggling. There were senior staff that were off sick, so we were picking up a lot of work at that stage. And we looked at it as interns and we said, what can we do to change this? And we made a morning coffee club. We came in 15 minutes early.
Even earlier.
Even earlier to have 15 minutes to sit down and have a cup of coffee together. And the four of us built an incredible friendship, and we managed to get through surgery together, which was a challenging task at the start. And eventually, we actually really started enjoying it. And I think it was just another story that really highlighted the effect of teamwork and taking on a challenge together.
That's awesome.
I mean, I think if I look on my, personal journey through med school, if I didn't have my, three other best friends doing it with me, I would not have managed at all, because it's like you do get those really, really difficult moments, and just have someone sit back and be like, how ridiculous is this? Like, let's just laugh about how ridiculous this is. And this is what we're facing, and this is our life right now. But they're kind of just there to make it better. And that's when you're like, okay, it's going to be fine. We're going to be fine.
Yeah.
A moment of eye contact when something is said or done, and you just have a little silent laugh.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Does a lot for the soul at the end of the day.
It does. It's true. Yeah.
There's lots of those moments, actually.
It's so
true. I suppose a bit of a comedy. It can be a comedy club at times. But anyway.
100%. No, but comedy, it's good. Very. I mean, that's what you guys need, especially. Like, I remember, I say when we were med students, like it was years ago, it was really like a couple of months ago. med students these days.
Yeah.
And it really was that. It was mates that, like, kept you going. And exams are tough. Like, consultants are grilling you on, like, the 500 criteria of infective endocarditis.
Like,
it's your mates that you get inside and they're like, you're flipping, giving each other high fives and like having a chuckle at each other's tutorial answers afterwards.
Yeah.
Like,
did you really say that?
Yeah. Like, did you say that to prof, bro? Yeah, it is those relationships. You guys hit it like on the nail on the head, as like when we were talking before this, before the session. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it goes, eh?
Do you feel more solution orientated, Debbie?
I do. But I think it's very important that, we need to define what our issues are at the end of the day, I guess. And then from there, we can take it and do what we got to do.
Measure our progress and continue to strive.
Yeah. And I think everyone kind of just needs to pull their, or do their part.
Listen,
do more. Joey, I saw you slacking in the ward round.
Not asking for much, just asking for you.
You're just chilling
better
at the back behind your tall friend Martinez. It's a good hiding spot.
It tends to happen like that. Let's not lie. We're all getting exposed now. The girls always get pushed to the front, and the boys.
No, ladies first. Classic.
Or you guys just don't answer, and then we just have to fill in like the blank spaces.
You do like to answer though, Debbie. You do like to.
I just don't like the awkward silence. I'm just like, let's get this done.
All the rest of us have like a little Homer Simpson, like chimpanzee with the symbols in his hand.
It's just like the brain cells are doing this.
I mean, it's not like I say the accurate stuff. Yeah.
Someone's got to take one for the team, and we thank you. Our whole rotation group thanks you from the bottom of our hearts.
My emotional and mental health needs your thankfulness.
But to the Docs and Slops, Matt and Ryan, from both Debbie and myself, we'd just like to give our heartfelt thanks for sharing these wonderful, inspiring ideas with us, for educating us and allowing us to have our minds open. And I think it's been an amazing, amazing experience for the both of us.
Yeah, I'm sad it's ending.
from our side, thank you so much for having us on the show. It's been really epic to be able to share some of the experiences, to have a good laugh together. It's just nice to share the story of the starfish, keep it going. And yeah, thank you for the opportunity today.
We're gonna have to I don't know, meet halfway between Klaxdorp and Pretoria and get a beer sometime. And
we're gonna slap a cow or something. I don't know, do those things out there.
It's on the fall of all rivers. Good, we got a river view. What more can you ask for?
Hundreds.
Go solve some more issues, guys.
Paris of the Free State. I mean, wherever it is. The Paris of South Africa. No.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. And just to our listeners, thank you guys for listening in. Please just give us your feedback on this. We'd really appreciate it. And I really sincerely hope you take what has been said to heart, because as I said in the previous episode, this deeply affects every single one of you. Just remember to follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, all the lovely social media sites, and have a good one.
This is Med Talk signing out.
Bye.